just for yourself, just for yourself, just for a minute, just for a minute, just speak to God, speak to God, speak to God. Father, we pray. We are hungry, we are thirsty for more and more. And Father, we begin to contend for the things of the Spirit. We contend for souls right now in the mighty name of Jesus. There are those that came to this service desperately in need of a touch from heaven. I pray, oh God, that heaven forbid that they would walk out the same, but that Father, you will touch them, that their lives will be radically changed. There are those who came to just see what's going on, but Father, I pray that they will not walk out the same, but that Father, you will touch their lives. You will radically change something in their lives this morning, that they will look back to this service and say, I had an encounter with God. So Father, we contend for supernatural encounters in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. We declare breakthroughs in this place. We declare breakthroughs in this place. Shabba.
Speaks to him. No matter where he is or what he's doing, you lay down and be quick to obey the voice of the Lord. For he says he's going to take him to amazing places, even to the wilderness to minister to him. He's going to take him to the heights of heaven. For he's got to teach him many things. So he says, you've got to just be quick to respond.
Thank you, Jesus.
For I'm your shepherd. And I'm leading you day by day, and hour by hour, and minute by minute. So when I speak, lay everything down.
Thank you, Jesus.
And listen for my voice.
Thank you. Hallelujah. Wow, you may be seated. I love that word. Thank you for that powerful confirmation. That's exactly what God has been saying to me. That's really a beautiful confirmation. I've been saying it over and over again that the one instruction that I got from the Lord recently is to obey, trust and obey, obey quickly. So thank you for that word. Thank you. I think God is calling us all into a season of quick obedience. And it resonates with my spirit because I know it was a personal word before it became a church word. I remember I was one day I went home after running and I was saying to my wife, God has called me into a crazy season and we're still working on it. And this word just reminds me of how intentional God is with us and with our obedience in this season. I was saying to some pastors last week or 2 weeks back at Harvest, and I was saying, you know, as ministers, it's so easy to get caught up in the tradition of church because you've done it. You know, I've done church now for 22 years. I've been doing this for 22 years, so it's so easy. It's so easy to be caught in the tradition. I know. What needs to happen. I know what needs to come next. And God has been saying to me, I want to bring you to a place of obedience. That you would learn to trust and obey. I think one of the most difficult things to do when you become spiritually mature is to actually trust and obey God. We become so spiritually mature that we begin to reason through everything from our experience. If God says go left, you're kind of like, well, I know we're going left, then we're going back, and we're going to turn right, and we're going to end up here. So I'm not going to go left. I'm just going to go and do what I know you want us to do. And God has been saying that has to stop. And so when you say that, it's a reminder for me that we really need to walk in obedience. And I'm wrestling that in this season, really trusting God. Trust in God. And I know it sounds immature for a pastor to say, I'm wrestling trying to trust God. But that's where I am. So that word is really spot on. That's where I am. Trust in God. Not my experience, not my wisdom, not my knowledge, not the way we are used to doing things, but just trust in God. So if he says do it this way, just do it. So Father, we thank you for every giver in this house. Thank you, O God, that you have blessed us with everything that we need for life and godliness. And it is a great joy for us to give back to you. Lord, we give with cheerful hearts. We give not for what we can get, but we understand what you have done for us. And so we worship you not only with our words, but with our resources. May our offering, may our tithes, may our giving, our generosity be acceptable to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, I'm going to go straight into the Word of God. Maybe lower me a little bit. I might get excited. I don't know. But I have a feeling that God wants to speak to us. And my subject today is fighting for the faith. Fighting for the faith. You know, when we were talking about this service, you know, the idea of a family service. We've always had First Sunday, but we're going to make sure that our First Sundays are going to be family-centered. We're going to be family. It's one thing to say we are raising a kingdom-minded family. It's another to actually be family. So service will be different. First Sunday will be different. You will have children running all over the place. That's what it means to be family. You'll have a little bit of extra noise. It's only one Sunday. That's what it means to be family. Amen. So we have to begin to contend for the things that we really believe. And when we're putting together the service and asking the different aspects of the ministry to play a part, it's so good to have TrueCore get involved and just showing up and saying, we want to be a part of this. Come on, TrueCore. To have True Kids saying, We don't want to just be Sunday school. We want to be part of the church. We are going to step up and we want to fight for everything that Christ has accomplished for us now. You know, it's so easy to relegate the youth and the kids to a Friday and a Sunday morning children's church that they actually don't get to see. And for some of you that are here, and maybe it's your first time stretching out and like, I wanna see what this whole family is all about. I wanna say to you this morning what you have done. You have set in motion a new thing. And it's a thing that is saying we are not just going to be sitting in the background for young people. We're not going to be just showing up on a Friday and have fun. We want to take our rightful place in the house of God here now. And if we raised young people that were active in the house of the Lord, if we raise young people who know who they are in the house of the Lord, they will know who they are out there. And so we have to create room for that. And so I felt the Lord say, you need to begin to fight for this space, because here's what I know. Let me read a scripture. I'll read a scripture and then challenge you. I've got a few thoughts. I'm really going to be brief. I've got just a few thoughts, three scriptures that I really want to read and challenge you and challenge myself and challenge Word of Truth Ministry to fight for something that is important. And it is family, among many other things. It is the faith that has been handed down to us. Listen to this. Proverbs chapter number 13 and verse 22 says, a good man or a good person leaves an inheritance for their children's children. Everybody say a good person. It was a little bit weak. So maybe help the person next to you. Tell them that you are a good person. Maybe that feels a little bit better. You are a good person. Everybody say a good person. That's good. A good person leaves an inheritance for their children's children. So the responsibility is not to leave an inheritance for your children. Hear me, parents. Hear me well. The responsibility is not to leave an inheritance for your children, but to leave an inheritance for your children's children. So our God is a generational God. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. When God wants to do something on the earth, he at least considers three generations, at the very least. When you read in Deuteronomy, we understand that God works, he blesses to the 10th generation. So when God calls you, that's a very good place to say amen, because sometimes when God calls you and you are being asked to do things that you don't understand right now, and you wonder, why am I being asked to do all these complicated things? It's got nothing to do with you, because God exists outside of time. He knows that in the 8th generation there is a young man that is going to be born that requires you to do something today that is going to shape their future. Come on, somebody. So we cannot be selfish Christians. You see, the problem with the church today is we have become so self-centered that everything that we are asked to do is about me. So if I ask you to do something, you're asking what's in it for me here now. But God is saying, I might be asking you to do something that is going to impact your children's children. So there are some times when you have to dance. And you are dancing in worship not because you feel like dancing, but God just has moved you to dance because your children's children, your grandchildren, somewhere it was going to be booging in a club, but you are reversing it in the house of the Lord. You are saying, I'm going to dance. You know, hearing me this morning? Because there is a devil that is after your third, fourth generation grandkid. And you can reverse that by saying, my child, my grandson is not going to be dancing in a club somewhere. I'm dancing in the house of the Lord to reverse that. So when you know that God is a generational God, sometimes you do things that don't make sense here now. You come into church and you're like, it's okay. I don't really have to come to church. The problem is not coming to church. The problem is if you don't come to church, your children never know what church looks like. You never bring them into the house of the Lord. Their children's children are going to be drug dealers. You could have reversed it by saying, I am going to go to church now. So that in the future, they will hear that auntie so-and-so, grandma did this. And they will come to the faith. So a good person leaves an inheritance for their children's children. And I feel like the church is not taking this word seriously. The world is. In every generation, the world is just getting more and more wicked. They know how to pass wickedness to the next generation. I had said I'm going to stay away from all these nonsense that is going on with Beyonce. But I'm going to say... I'm just going to say, since I have True Core here and everybody else, if you're listening to Beyonce, you need Jesus. Let me tell you why. She's done going after the world. She's coming after church girls. Her new album has got a song entitled Church Girl. And you all are dancing. You all are dancing to some worldly frequency that is shaping your children's children. And you're not doing anything about it. But I heard the Lord say, it's time to contend. Everybody say, fight. It's time to fight. So when a pastor, I know you don't like it, it's your favorite music. You're like, I'm not coming back to that church anymore. You know, how dare you touch my favorite artist? But here, let me tell you, I'm fighting for something that is bigger than how good it feels when you are doing that. Let me tell you, the world is serious about robbing the third, fourth, fifth to the 10th generation. And we're not serious about handing down the faith. We're not serious. You know, we have no problem allowing Hollywood to hand down values to our children. And we're not, it's not a problem. But But the moment we start saying, how about handing down some godly stuff, leaving a good inheritance for your children? Like, oh yeah, you know, I want my kids to like me. I want my grandchildren to like me, so I can't be talking about Jesus. Everybody say a good person. You are a good person. And you're supposed to leave something substantial, not only for your children, but for your children's children. But for that to happen, you have to decide that there are certain things you're going to fight for now. You're going to decide that there are certain things that you have to fight for now. I know Rain is probably sitting with other true core somewhere, like running away from me. But let me tell you. Okay, I'll be the cool dad. Like, don't do this to me, dad. Like I've invited all the other friends, and you're going to preach about me. But let me tell you, we. I'm resisting. Let me tell you. The things that you have to get to fight for is not what everybody else is going to like. When we talk about fighting for certain things, everybody else is going to be like, nah, in our house, we just do it anyhow. But you have to say, not in this house. Not because you are a mean parent. Not because you don't love your children, but because you love them enough to secure something for the future. Something for the future. Go with me to 2 Timothy. I'm really resisting going there, but yeah, stay with me. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5. I thank God. This is Paul writing to another young person. He says, I thank God whom I serve as my ancestors did. You see, you never get to say that unless you're fighting for something. There are many of us that are serving God, but we are the first. Like, I'm the first within my family to serve God. Well, Vanessa was saved before me, but I'm taking a stand. I'm the only son that decided that I am going to take a stand and I'm going to be the first. But Jesse is not the first. He's going to be able to say, I thank God that I serve God the way my father served God. But what is more important is his son being able to say that I serve God just the way my grandfather served God. So I'm not fighting for Jesse. If I win with Jesse, that's half the battle. A good man is thinking of Jesse's child. So for me to impact Jesse's child, I have to make sure that there is something of Justin's old nature that wants to show up in Jesse that I have to deal with a sense of finality. That Jesse, we're not going to do this. I, your father, used to do this, but I'm not going to allow you to do this because I need the one who's coming after you to be able to say, I don't know anything else but serving the Lord. Fight. So he says, I thank God whom I serve as my ancestors did with a clear conscience. As night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. Now watch this, verse 5. I am reminded of your sincere faith. Everybody say sincere faith. Paul is thinking of Timothy and he says, every time I think of you, I think of your sincere faith. But the thing that gets me about the scripture is Paul goes on to say the sincere faith which first lived in your grandmother Lois and was also in your mother Eunice. And I am persuaded is also. So when Grandmama Lois was acting crazy and everybody thought she is a mean woman, what they did not realize was that Grandmama Lois was not doing it for herself. She wasn't even doing it for her daughter Eunice.
She knew that for the church that is supposed to be birthed after Jesus comes, there has to be a Timothy, a young man who knows how to steward the grace of God. A young man who has made up his mind that in a time when everybody is doing what the world is doing, I saw Mama do it differently. And I am going to allow the faith that I saw in my mother, the faith that started in my grandmother, to shape my decisions for the future. You see, what Grandmother Lois was doing was making sure that Justin, when they read the letter of Timothy, we have a witness. She didn't know that Timothy was the one who was going to touch nations. She thought she was just praying. She thought she was just worshiping. She thought she was just giving. But what she did not know is that there is a child that is going to come two generations later that will literally change the world. And so some of the decisions that we make as parents have got nothing to do with how you feel right now. Oh yeah, it's got nothing to do with that. It's your child that's coming after you that will say, I thank God for my grandfather, my grandmother. Three generations, from Lois to Eunice to Timothy. But how do you do that? How do you do that? You fight for what's important. You fight for what's important. You're like, you know what? I could, Grandmother Lois could have left Timothy with a couple of million, whatever currency they used to use. But with inflation and everything, it would come to nothing. But she said, I want to leave something that is eternal. Something that if you lay hold of this, it doesn't matter where you find yourself, Timothy. If you lay hold of this faith, you are always going to be a godly man. And I feel like God is saying we need to start fighting for things that matter. We need to start fighting for family. You know the reason why we will gladly make space? I was saying to Joel as we're talking about True Core, like, whatever they want us to do, let's do that. It might get some grandparents here feeling like, I'm not coming to church family first Sunday, but we're not doing it for you. No, I'm serious. We're not doing it for you, because we know that throughout history there are cathedrals that have been shut out in Europe just because some person was so selfish to just do it for one generation that was dying. But we need somebody that is saying, we're not doing it for you. Yes, you might not like the funky guche, 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 do, 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 do. You can't understand what they are doing. But what we are doing is we are preserving the faith that three generations later, there is a young Timothy that will come up and say, I love the Lord. Because grandma and grandpapa made room for me in the house of the Lord. So what we're fighting for today, I felt the Lord say, I want you to tell the church that we are not fighting for a good service. We're not fighting for a program. We are fighting for generations yet unborn to time. Because there are some young people, I won't put anyone on the spot, that have not been in church. They've been to a youth club somewhere. But they have not made a way to come and sit into the house of the Lord. Why? Because no one is fighting for them. When they come here, we just want to like, oh yeah, just sit down. We do our thing. And they're like, we don't fit in that thing. So we have to begin to fight for their children's children. A good person will leave an inheritance for their children's children. So when we talk about family, we're fighting for something that is generational. Generational. We might not see the fruit today, but should Jesus tarry three generations later, there is someone that is going to be saying, I thank God for that generation of people in Word of Truth Ministry, that we're not too phased by the type of music that we're listening to.
Because the thing is, if we don't make room for godly stuff in this house, they are going to be given Beyonce. And that's what they're going to listen to. You know, it bothers me that even among Christian gatherings, you go to, we went to a gathering on Friday, and they were singing gospels throughout the ages. While the parents are there, that's fine, the kids are doing their part. But then I'm told that another thing happened the day before that when you play certain music, you the teachers need a special anointing to control the kids, because the moment you play that beat, you're not hearing what I'm saying. You just play that beat, all of a sudden, even the one that you said was shy, they said, "No, I can't stand, I can't sing in front of anybody." Play the music. Like what happened? Transformation happened because of the music. So why can't we say, God, give us godly people that will play the same music in the house of the Lord that is godly, and let the kids come alive. And let them worship God so that they don't have to bop to some crazy worldly stuff out there. Because now they can invite all their friends. You wanna, hey man, youth vibes are different. But you know, you wanna get down, come to the house of the Lord with me. Because we have in the scriptures a David who said, the Bible says he became undignified and he danced in such a way that all the other kings were looking at him and saying, "You are a king. You're not supposed to be doing that." But he knew that I have to preserve something for the kingdom of God. And so we will come to church and have fun. Why am I saying this? First Sunday. First Sunday is going to be an important service for us. Very important service. And it will get different the more you allow the youngsters to get involved. One of these good days, you're going to have true kids preaching. Now, grandma, like, I'm not coming to a service when a kid is preaching. I would rather come and hear them say, "You know what, I only know two verses and I can put them together." And you are stirring something that three generations down the road, you've got preachers in the house. They are children, and their children's children love the Lord, that even when they are in politics, they are not afraid and not ashamed to sit in front of all the other politicians and say, "Let's open the Bible and let's pray." Because you taught them at a young age. So we're contending for something that is bigger. Now, I want to end by reading the third scripture, where this idea of fighting and contending for something comes from. Jude. It's only one book, so it's Jude 1. So Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and a brother of James, to those who have been called. Are there people that know for a fact that they've been called? You know that you have been called. Those who have been, who are loved in God the Father, and those who are kept, those who are kept for Jesus Christ. Before I even get to what I want to get to, I feel like this scripture could be a good series all by itself. Because some of you just need to know that God loves you so much that he called you out of darkness into his marvelous kingdom. But not only did he call you out of darkness into his kingdom, not only is he calling you out of the world into his glorious kingdom, he has also loved you. This Jude is saying, "I'm writing to you because you are not only called, but you are loved." And maybe you are here this morning and you're not sure that you are loved. Maybe you haven't experienced enough of this love, but Jude wants you to know that God did not just call you so that you do something for him. He says, "I'm calling you because I love you." And then if you forget everything else, I want you to understand that Jesus called you and he promised that he's going to keep you for Jesus Christ. Now, keeping your family for Jesus Christ requires that you fight. You see, when I'm fighting for certain truths. I'm keeping my children for Jesus. I'm like, I'm preserving them for Jesus. So I'm not going to allow some joker to come and tell me how to raise my kids. I'm not going to allow some politician who's got no kids or has got a messed up family to write laws that will govern the way I'm going to raise my kids. So I am fighting for them because I want them to be kept specifically for Jesus. Not for millions. Please do make millions, Wayne and Jesse and all of you. But I'm not keeping you for millions. I'm not keeping you for worldly material and wealth. I'm not keeping you for that. That is bonus if you get that. But I'm keeping you for Jesus Christ. So that if he comes today or three generations later, you are safe. You are in him. Keeping you for Christ. So after he said this, which is quite interesting, he then begins to challenge them a little bit, and that's what I want to do. You are kept in Christ. Christ is fighting for you. God is fighting for you. He's fighting so that you may remain in Christ. But then Jude says you have a responsibility, and we're going to dive in this and we're going to end. Verse 3, dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt compelled to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to God's holy people. There are some truths that were entrusted to you that he's saying, in the midst of what's going on around the world, I want you to fight for those things. And while I could have just spoken about how God is keeping you, I felt compelled. While I could have preached any other message this morning, I felt compelled, word of truth, to challenge us to contend, to fight for the faith that was given to us. You see, Timothy is among those guys that handed down the faith because Grandma Lois was praying. And he handed down the faith to us. You and I are saved because these guys handed down the faith. Are we going to fight to make sure that we have something to hand down to the next generation? And the way the world is going, more and more churches have got little to hand down to the next generation. Just the other day, I was reading again, and there's scandal once again within the church. And you think, my goodness me, if all the big churches are beginning to crack and fall and things are surfacing left, right, and center, what are we really going to hand over to the next generation? Broken marriages? Cheating pastors? The list goes on and on. And Paul is probably looking at the angels and saying, guys, we, Paul would say, I was speaking to one of my pastor friends, I said, Paul would say, I chose to stay away from women. It's like, I even wrote in the Bible, in the scriptures, that it's difficult, but I chose to do it so that I can hand down something that is pure. Oh, you're not hearing me. And now the people that we have handed the faith to, they married, but they can't stay faithful. What are they going to hand down? I think Paul is probably looking at Jesus like, Jesus, we did this so that we'll hand something pure, but look at what the next generation is going to inherit. Everybody say fight. We have to fight. It starts with you making up your mind that I'm going to fight for something that is way bigger than me now. I'm fighting because, and I say this with you know, one of the things that I'm, because the recent pastor who fell kind of shocked many. Well, we don't know the full story, but kind of shocked many. And here's the thing. Here is the thing. Nobody expected this. And I said to my pastor friends as we were discussing this, I said, guys, You know what's even scary? Is that of all the people that I thought would fall, this one I never thought he would fall. So maybe among the six of us here, one of you could fall. Or five of us could fall. Because we don't think it's going to happen to us. And then immediately we started saying, it's time to fight for something that is bigger than us. It's like, just before you give in, just remember that you've got generations that are yet unborn to time. That if you choose to enjoy 30 minutes, you're going to ruin 30 years of their lives. And so, when you say no and everybody says, oh, you've been too strict. You're legalistic. You say no. 30 minutes is not what I'm worried about. I could have fun in 30 minutes, but I'm worried about 30 years. And I want to hand down something that's pure. Why am I saying all these things? Listen to this. He says, I felt compelled. And I felt this morning compelled to challenge you to fight for something. Fight for faith, true faith. You see, I'm not talking about faith of believing. Here, when you read this scripture and you see faith, this is not the Hebrews 11 faith where faith is the substance of things hoped for, believing for stuff. This is the faith that means my relationship with Jesus. Okay? That's the word faith there. The faith that was handed down to you is not like faith to believe for money, for a bigger house. He's talking about the relationship that has been handed down to you. That connection with Jesus. That's the faith. So it's not a faith. It's not different faiths. Because again, we're in a world now that pastors are talking about all sorts of ways to God. And Jude is saying, guys, there is no other way. There's only one. Let's contend for the only one way. You see, there are so many people that are trying to draw you into debates of there could be other ways. There could be what if. No, that's not what I'm contending for. I'm contending for the only one way. Where there's no options, there's no plan A, B, C, and D. No, there's only one. Jesus Christ. Only way. And so when he says contend for the faith, this is not like, oh, I'm fighting for my new car. No. That's not what he's talking about. It's a relationship. You have a responsibility to fight for your own relationship with Jesus Christ. And why this is important is, even if Pastor Justin fails, and heaven forbid, if I fail and fall, you don't leave church and say, I knew it never worked. Guess what you do? You say, Pastor Justin, it's time for you to sit down. Maybe let's give the next young person to start running with the word. But we're going to continue with the faith because we were not believing in Justin Doro. That's going to help somebody because it's so easy to get discouraged, young people, when you see the amount of leaders that are falling. And say, well, is there any hope for me? No, you're not contending for a relationship with that leader. You're contending for a relationship with Jesus. The faith that was handed down to you means that whoever messes up, they mess up their relationship. But you have a responsibility to contend for your own relationship. I'm going to fight for my own relationship. I'm going to make sure that when everybody else is going to hell, I know that I am secure because I was fighting for that relationship. And so, as families, we need to have truths that we fight for. But more importantly, we need to fight for our relationship with Jesus. And so what we're going to be doing every first Sunday of the month is to fight for this relationship as families. Let your kids see grandma right at the back worshiping God and like, but grandma, you were crying. What, are you okay? Grandma says, no, these were not tears of pain and sorrow. This is joy. This is joy right here. There are times when you are in the presence of God and you cry like, oh, okay. That's how they're going to learn. But if they never get the opportunity to come together with us in family and see us do what we do, it's never going to be their faith. We are contending for a relationship with Jesus. Stand with me. I touched a whole lot of things, but I want to summarize these three things that I really believe. If you don't remember anything, the first one is, I want you to know that God is fighting for you. We sang it. He's fighting so that you may be kept for Jesus. That's the easy side. He's doing his part to make sure that your relationship with Jesus remains alive. The second part is, you need to do your part to fight for that relationship. What are you doing to fight for your relationship? Not what is the church doing. Not what is the pastor doing. Not what is my life group leader doing. Not because men will not be able to do this for you. But you have a responsibility. Each one of us are being called to fight for our faith, or the faith. The faith is speaking of the relationship that you have with Jesus Christ. I wonder how many of you would stay for church if you walked in here and no one else was there, because we just decided that this Jesus thing is not cool anymore. And you got here and there's no worship team. Maybe there's one other person sitting in one corner waiting for the guys to show up and nobody shows up. I wonder how many of you would just say, well, there's no church, let's go home. But I wonder how many of you would say, well, I wasn't coming for whoever else is coming. I'm fighting for a relationship. Can we pray? Can we read a scripture? Can we do a hymn and then go home? Why I'm saying this is, I feel like we are in a time where people expect the pastors, the leaders, to do it for them. And guess what? The enemy has realized that's where our faith was. And so guess why the leaders are falling left, right, and center? I'm just going to attack the ones that you put faith in, and then I've got you. Right now, go onto YouTube and just look at how many people. I couldn't believe it. It was just 3 days in, this whole conversation of a pastor that possibly could have whatever, I don't know. But look at how many views. I've been preaching for years. I don't have one YouTube video that has as many views as tons of these. I've been in ministry for 22 years. Preaching hard, don't have any of those followers. But guess what? Guess what? One pastor makes a mistake. Millions. I'm like, they're mushrooming. It's like today you watch this video, tomorrow you watch another, and there's thousands, hundreds of thousands of people watching. I'm like, surely, is this what we're going to hand down to the next generation? And I felt the Lord say, don't put your faith in man. Contend for your relationship with Jesus Christ. Because the more we put our faith in leaders, we honor our leaders, we support them, all that stuff, all that good stuff. But don't put your faith in men. Because the enemy has now discovered, if I want millions to walk away from church, right now there is many that have walked away just because of one man falling. And I can tell you that's what the enemy is going to do. It's a strategy that works. It works. Thousands of people have faith in men and not in Jesus. Contend for your relationship. If you are ever going to leave something substantial for the next generation, you have to learn to fight for your own relationship. As you fight for your own relationship with Jesus, you've got something to offer the next generation. If you don't fight for your own relationship with Jesus, there is nothing to hand down. Because they will look at you. Like I always say, the last thing that I want is to come here and preach a good message and I go home and these little ones are saying, but that was a good message for the church, but this is not how you behave here. Because that just tells them there's nothing. There's nothing to hand down. That's the act that we do on a Sunday morning. But what we take to the next generation is who you are at home. Father, I thank you for Word of Truth Ministry. I thank you for this decision that we have made to fight for families, but more importantly, to fight for our relationship with Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray, even as we see the beauty of this scripture where the faith that was in Eunice, in Lois went into Eunice and went into Timothy. Today we saw three generations minister in some form or fashion in this meeting. We saw the older folk, we saw the youth, we saw the children, the three generations. Could it be that, Lord, you're beginning something in Word of Truth Ministry that will be seen in three generations? Father, I pray that this will become such a key thing for us as a family, to not just live for the moment, but to live for generations yet unborn to time, that we may begin to invest in the next generation and the next generation, that each one of us would be able to leave an inheritance, a good, godly inheritance, a legacy of faith to the third generation. In Jesus' name, amen. Man, as I was praying, you know, conference is going to be fun. We called conference legacy because we feel like this church is built on legacy. It's like people that have gone before us. We salute Pastor Dave. We salute the people that went before him. We salute that legacy is all about generations. But if we make legacy about the 3 days and just come and have fun, we will have nothing to hand down. We need to make decisions. Even as we prepare for this conference, we're making decisions that, God, could this conference be something that will be instrumental in shaping what we could hand to the next generation? And so please continue to pray for the Legacy Conference. And with this in mind, that we're not just going to have fun, but we're going to shape something that will change the next generation. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious towards you. May he lift up his countenance and give you peace all the days of your life. And all God's people say it, amen.